Welcome. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Give us a moment. Okay. So before we jump into our work for today, a couple of reminders. The first is this Thursday, at 1, Caitlin is going to be holding space for our small group discussions. So many of those discussions have been amazing. It's opportunity to go deeper into what we're looking at in our training calls. There are case studies to discuss and kind of picking apart the details and getting to the layers. So if you have been coming to the small group discussions, yay, I hope you'll be there this week. If you haven't, but you've kind of been curious and you just didn't have the time yet, speaking of time, which is what we're going to be looking at today, drop in. You can still jump in, and it's a really nice opportunity to have more space to discuss everything that we're looking at. So that's happening on Thursday. And then I wanted to remind you all, this isn't for everybody, but throughout the program, we have twice a month community Q&A calls where you can come. They're pretty much every other Monday, where you can come and ask me any question that you want about anything, almost anything. And people come forward and they ask questions about client case studies, about what's happening in their group programs. People come forward and ask questions to get some coaching on inner pieces, inner blocks. People come forward and ask questions about business pieces and marketing pieces and pricing pieces and messaging pieces. So it is, those calls are just dripping with not only support, but pearls of wisdom. And even if you are not the person in that moment asking a question, getting coached, or that I'm brainstorming with you, there's so much information and inspiration that gets shared to help you continue going. So, like I said, those calls aren't for everyone. They're not officially part of Sacred Depths. But that being said, I just want to remind you that they're there for you and you still have a couple of months to take advantage of them if you've been wanting to ask me more questions, if you've been wanting business inspiration or some business support as well. We always spend the first half hour of those calls either blueprinting action plans for the month, so that you kind of have that dedicated space for that, or doing a little bit of a marketing writing type of either training or actual get it done time to do a little bit of writing. So those are there for you. And our next community Q&A call is this coming Monday, December 4th at 12 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, the last thing I want to mention, I've been mentioning it the last couple of classes, we don't have a live training call next week, although part two of this time module will be dropped in your member center. But we do, during this regularly scheduled time next Tuesday from 12 to 1 Eastern have a next steps call. So for those of you that have been wanting to learn about how we can continue our work together, we're almost at the end of Sacred Depths. You know, I'll be sharing all about that then. Okay. With all of that, before we jump into looking at the topic of time, I'd love to invite everybody to take a moment and write down one celebration. It's so easy to forget to celebrate, especially when things seem shitty. But there's always something to celebrate, to acknowledge, inner or outer. What's one thing that's gone well, that you feel proud of, that you want to celebrate? And then bonus points. I mean, there's not really points, but pretend bonus points. If what you wrote down is related to something that we're learning here, or if you want to write down a second thing, a celebration that is specifically related to the work that we're doing in Sacred Depths, either something for yourself, or maybe something you've brought to your client work or your partner coaching work or your groups. What's something specifically relating to you as a practitioner that you want to celebrate? And please, please share in the chat. I want to see, what are you celebrating? And we also have time for one or two voice-to-voice shares as well. I'd love to hear someone's voice. Jody's going to work with Marcy on the Applied Depth team. I'm really excited for you too. Golda, called you Jody. Golda. Who else? What do you want to celebrate? Please share. Anyone else sharing? Susan?
I'm sure if you want a voice or type share, but I was hired by the group that I got certified for alcohol coaching, and I'm doing some group coaching with them, and I'm really using everything I've learned in Sacred Depths and holding, I feel like, a really, really better container than I have had in the past, because I have worked for them before. And, you know, really going deeper with the members, and I'm really getting rave reviews from the members. Like, they're like, you're my favorite. They're like, and coming to my calls. And I really feel like it's because of this safe container that I'm really holding for them. And I'm just loving that, and kind of just, you know, I'm doing like kind of what you've shared about just loving them every interaction, doing my little prayer time beforehand, and really, you know, keeping like pre-framing, you know, that it's okay to be okay and okay not to be okay. And just, so I'm just really celebrating that. That has been such a great experience for me, and a good experience for them. And that's what it's really about, you know, so. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear it. And I'm celebrating with you, Susan. It just sounds incredible. And from what you're describing, I can feel how you're holding just that tight and beautiful container for people to feel loved and for people to feel open and vulnerable and engaged. So well done. Yay. So great. And Sue B in the chat is celebrating how much more deeply you're helping your clients. Yes, and how appreciative they are. That's always the kind of bonus prize when we serve our clients more deeply. I'm so happy to hear that. Okay, so let's talk about time. This module, oh, let me see, there's one more. Hold on, I like to read the celebrations. There's one more in the chat. Maria passed her Qigong certification. Woo-woo. And it relates to sacred depths because you were avoiding it and procrastinating because of an old identity. Yes, yes. So wonderful. Jen did fear work last night. I hope you all are using the fear techniques, the rewiring techniques, everything that we've been looking at also in your own practices. Beautiful. Okay, so this module, which is a 2-session module, our live call today, and then a recorded training that you'll get in your member center. That's part 2. It's all about time, and I call it move with the flow of time. Our session today, we're gonna, as we always do when we look at a topic first, we're gonna kind of get to the foundational pieces of time and how human beings approach time and relate to time. We're gonna look at inner pieces today when it comes to the ideas and concepts of time. In the recording, in the training that you'll get next week, we're going to move all of this learning into some outer pieces where I'm share specific outer exercises that you can introduce to clients and yourself to help get more organized and in the flow of time. Time is or can be one of the most important issues that comes up when we are supporting our client. Because if time isn't working well for a client, it can become an obstacle to their progress. It can become an obstacle to them feeling the way that they want to feel about themselves, about their lives. When time isn't working well, it can become an obstacle for our client to feel like they're experiencing and living the values that they want to live in their lives, whether that value is freedom or spaciousness or happiness or whatever it is. And it's important, you know, a lot of times we jump to, okay, let's help you get organized around your time, right? Which is great. There's books and books and books and exercises and worksheets and, you know, like planners, like so much out there about the outer aspects of time, how to get more organized. And I love that. I mean, I'm a Virgo. I love organization. I love all of, you know, I'm a big blueprinter. I love all of that. I'm so into my schedule. But all that being said, as you probably know, none of that stuff really works unless there's also an aligned inner orientation towards time. Those are all great tools if there is an aligned relationship with time. So, okay, let's even just first take a step back for a moment on all of this. And I want to invite you to jot down some ways that time shows up as a, I don't know, how do I want to call it? Like a kind of an issue, for lack of a better word. The time shows up as an obstacle or an issue for you. And I want to give you some examples first. So it's almost like I want to invite you to make a list of what's not working for you when it comes to time, or what you're tolerating because of time. So for example, maybe you don't have as much spaciousness as you would like. Maybe because of time and other things, and all of it, right, is almost always time and other things, your self-care practice has gotten thrown out the window, right? Maybe you're not meditating as much as you would like to. Maybe for you, issues with time shows up as you're constantly showing up late for things. And then people get upset at you. I show up on time for all things work, but most things personal, a little not so good. My kids get angry at me sometimes. Maybe time is not working for you and it's showing up as you're not creating what you want in your life or in your work. Maybe you are working way later every day than you want to be working. Maybe time shows up for you as you actually have too much free time, but you don't, it's hard to use it, and then nothing gets done. Maybe you have anxiety about time running out. So what are some of the ways for you? And please share in the chat. What are some of the ways issues with time are showing up for you? You're tolerating, or it's not working for you? It's good to share examples, not only so that we can recognize others inside of ourselves, but so that we can, as we're working with our clients, we can kind of hear into it. For Jennifer, over planning and schedule, then not having the time to do all of the things that you want to do, and then you end up exhausted. Yep. And then not doing most of the things. So there could be some outer pieces there for Jennifer, like when you plan giving more time for each thing. I always like to give contingency time, right? But there could be also some inner pieces going on with that as well. Susan has anxiety around time, but it's been the thing that pushes me to do more. And then you do too much, and then you don't get enough sleep, or self-care suffers. Yep, not that aligned. Golda can feel overwhelmed by time, planning with it, not sure how long something might take. Yep. Juniper ends up reaching for low-hanging fruit just to feel productive, but never ends up creating space for bigger visions. Just wants more of it. Catherine feels like you have too much or not enough time. Kristen, yeah, I was gonna bring up the neurodivergent thing. And I had a feeling you would have some things to say on that too, Kristen. I'm so glad you're bringing it into the conversation. Kristen has time blindness due to ADHD, hard to keep track of time when you're in hyperfocus. Yes. Yep. And then things suffer, blow things off. For Gen M, you have a fair amount of time, but a lot of big things are going on, and you find yourself not using your time well and escaping. For Amy, fluctuation between okay with time passing by. Okay. These are all great and really important. So, of course, sometimes the time thing is actually just a cover or a distraction for something else, right? Like a fear of doing this thing. And so then you just run out of time for it. But other times or in other scenarios, there's also a lot to be said about our relation. If we're struggling with time, there's something to be said about our relationship with time. And most people, I mean, this is a kind of a big sweeping statement, so check it out and see if it feels like truth for yourself. I believe that most people in our culture and in our society, because of the ways that we've been acculturated and the messaging that has seeped in, I believe that most of us have a misaligned relationship with time. The one of the main reasons why we want to work on that relationship with time and bring it into alignment is because how we experience time is how we spend our lives. How we experience time is how we experience our lives. Yeah, I kind of want to let that land for a moment. I'm going to say it again. How we experience time is how we experience our lives. And how we experience time has everything to do with what we believe about time. How we experience time has everything to do with what we believe about it. So I'll give you a moment. Well, actually, let me do this first. So there's a lot of beliefs about time out there. Some of them have to do with us personally. Some of them are more universal beliefs about time. So, for example, I'm prone to wasting time. Others have more time than me. Time isn't on my side. Life goes by too quickly. I always have to catch up with time. Take a few moments right now and explore for yourselves what your relationship with time is and what are some of the beliefs that are embedded in that relationship. So, first, take a moment and write out what's your relationship with time. Some of you already began to do this when I asked about, where time issues are showing up, but what is your relationship with time? Maybe you see time as father time. What does that mean? Is time your friend? Is it your enemy? Is it an annoying thing in your life? What is that relationship that you have with it? Do you see it as an ally? Do you see it as part of you, separate from you? Explore how you relate to it. Is it an oppressor? Is it a partner? How do you relate to it currently? And then you can also start to add in some notes on your beliefs about time. What do you believe about time? Take another moment with that. And I'd love to hear some shares. What's coming through? And I love Maria's writing in the chat. I see time as fluid and expandable. There's linear time, cyclical time, and quantum time. I simply have to skillfully align with the appropriate time for the circumstance. That's so beautiful and so powerful. And Maria, I'm wondering, you might be so, I don't know what the word is, evolved when it comes to this. I know you believe these are beliefs about time, and I'm wondering if this happens for you practically too, or are there sometimes some deeper unhelpful beliefs that rise to the surface as you're moving through time?
Well, sure. In facilitation, I'm constantly taking a group, creating a container of time, and taking them through an experience that expands outside of time. So they have this transformational experience, and then they get cohered and then return back into this time so that they're integrated. And then when our session is over, they can go into their next session, their next thing. So that's a practice. But I have a tendency, not now in this day, because that's a skill that I'm cultivating. But if I didn't cultivate the skill, I would absolutely be late and run over time. I live in a liquid time. So that's the thing about being present, is being present in the moment. I'm with you. And so our conversation is done when it's done, but not when the clock says. So that's the biggest challenge that I face as a facilitator, is being fully present and allowing enough time for the spaciousness, for this transformation to happen, and for their integration to happen within linear time, even though I'm working with quantum time that's contained in something. So it's a skill that I'm practicing
I
I would
love
say
that.
that's my number one skill that I'm practicing more so than moving energy or listening. It's that. It's how to be in these different times at the same time. And then you're working with people in different time zones.
Yes, so true. Beautiful. I love that. Golda.
Okay, so I think I'm still unpacking this for myself, and I have a high need for time integrity in terms of being on time, being in containers where facilitators on time. So much love, Maria. But a date, if a date is going to pick me up and he says he's going to be, at a specific time, and I can feel where my nervous system gets really activated. And so I think what's coming to me, although I don't know that this was actually a programming that I got directly from my parents, but it feels like time is money. There's a very strong value that I hold around my time. And so if a client is late, but it's definitely, like I said, I feel it in my nervous system, and it feels like a light trauma. There's something there. So I'm
I'm
happy.
glad this is rising up to the surface because it feels like there's something there that's really important. And I'm also glad that you're sharing this one, time is money, because that it is a big one for a lot of people in this culture. It's definitely one that I know you're saying you're not sure. I know for me was pounded into me. And because of that, it has created, and this is something I've been working on for a long time to unwind out of, but it's created this like every time, every bit of time needs to be used. So it's not so much the being on time part for me, but the way it gets expressed for me is need to use every bit of time in such productive ways, right? Because time is money. So
And
it's an
just
important
another,
one.
it, yeah, that and another layer, it feels like it's like a level of respect, like that somebody respects me if they are, showing up on time, or, and if they're not, then they don't. So it's like I said, there's a lot to
Yeah,
unpack here for me.
there's pieces there. Good. Yeah, and that respect piece too, right? It's and how were we? Sometimes these things can also show up. As I said earlier, I show up late for my kids sometimes, right? But the kid that never got picked up on time, then what are some of the beliefs that come there? And then how does that impact? Good. Let's see. Katie in the chat is saying, habitually, I feel like a total contradiction with time. I love and want a lot of space and time to do things, but then I feel like I need to fill it up with small tasks for fear of not using it wisely. It's, yeah, I'm so glad you're speaking to that, Katie. You're not the only one. It's right, like, it's almost like the Holy Grail. Let me have open time to have spaciousness and just be at ease. And then when we create that for ourselves, so often, because there's still this underlying beliefs about time, we try to fill it up. We do the things. Let me cross off the things on the list that need to get done or whatever it is. That Juniper, you're already going where I'm going in a little bit. You guys are all such smarty pants. Juniper's saying, I notice a lot of overlap with money. Yep, we're gonna talk about that. Catherine's saying, I wouldn't even know what to do with it if I had it. It would be wasted, right? That's another big belief for a lot of people. I'm wasting time, right? Yes. Okay. I'm going to kind of add another piece or layer to this as we're looking at these beliefs. And what I'm about to say next, I've taught this many, many, many times. And this particular piece, for some people, when I share it, light bulbs go off and it's like, ding, ding. And it really resonates. And then for other people, they're like, no, that doesn't, I don't really get that. So, this might be incredible kind of insight for you, or Not at all. It's fine either way, but I'm just going to toss it in case it sparks something for someone. Sometimes our beliefs about either the universe, our own deserving, or authority figures get projected onto what we believe about time or how we feel about time. I'm going to say that again, and then I'm going to give some examples. Sometimes our beliefs either about the universe or our own deserving or how we relate to authority figures gets projected onto our relationship with time. So, for example, if we feel like time is in control of us, that might be directly from how we relate to an authority figure or how we relate to God or the universe. If we have a belief that time is cruel to us, right, or that we have to fight against time, that again, that might be related to a belief about an authority figure, the universe, what we deserve, and it gets projected onto this kind of big screen of time. If we believe that, in general, if we believe that life is unfair, God is unfair, that God is better for some people and worse for others, we might be prone to believe that other people get to have more time than we do. So take a moment with that. Again, it may not resonate for you, but I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Time is such a vast concept that, as I said earlier, is so intricately related to how we experience our lives and how we experience ourselves, that we take things from other areas of our lives, beliefs, relationships, and we can project them onto time. That spark anything for anyone? Anyone want to share on that? Danielle, or maybe your hand was raised from before, I didn't see, but either way, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was surprised when we were journaling a bit about some shame and grief coming up. And so that feels really interesting to me because it is connected to this sense of like, oh, you know, it's the nuance of the truth that there it is passing. I mean, you could use different language, but we're all in this. Yes. In this experience. And also there's a more abundant way of interacting with it. And I think that guy Oliver Berkman wrote a book about time recently in the last couple of years. And it's the truth that, like, yes, seeing it as limited can, I think someone shared about this before, like fear or seeing something as scarce can be a motivator, can be a good motivator. For a while, it's just what's the price you're paying there? And then are you going to burn out from that? And I'm looking back and thinking, oh, yeah, the stuff that's coming up, like feeling like it's slipping away, and then looking backwards and having more insight now and being like, oh, I wish I would have, that time could have been spent differently. And so what's coming to me is that it's like, yes, you could connect any of that to other things in my life, like you're talking about these particular things, like your view of the universe and authority figures. But it also, I love that you're taking the time to slow down and look at our perception of time itself, because it almost feels like an invisible lens that's, oh, now I can see how that's just compounding on that other stuff. But without having the language around this, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. Thank you for all of that. Yeah. It's like, it's the thing that's always there, as you say, the invisible lens or the thing that's with us, but we don't, it, because it's so integrated, because it is how we experience ourselves in our lives. We don't necessarily take the time to separate it out, to see what that filter or that lens is. And it is so important to do. Could you share the name of that author in the chat for those of us that want to take a look at the book? Thanks. Jen.
Yeah, I had a, I was journaling, like, you know, as per your journaling question. And I said, I oftentimes I don't feel like I have enough. Am I not enough? Are we one in the same time? And yet, like, I also relate a lot to Maria and like do have these different perspectives of time. I'm sure we all do, especially. Yeah. I mean, it's just like that expanding and contraction of the universe consistently. And then here we are in this ever unfolding of it all. And yeah, it's interesting. I kind of got like a little like, maybe gently spooked by time last night and thinking about this group program I want to launch. And then I was just like, holy shit, it's almost December and I wanted to do a thing for the new year. And I was just like, oh, I'm like going to miss the boat again. And I was just like, then this kind of other feeling was just like, well, whatever. It's not that big of a deal because I'm still going to do the thing. I know that. But it is, there also is this like, don't miss the boat, like don't miss the wave. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it makes sense that we would have a lot of, I don't know, messiness with this topic because it's, there's so many strings to pull on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the idea, I think, is not to just relate in one way, right? Like, it doesn't matter that that didn't happen because there's an abundance of time and it'll happen later. Like, that is beautiful for some moments. And then for other moments, it's like, no, right? So, but this is all about becoming even more aligned in terms of our relationship with time.
There is one other piece too. It's so, yeah, amazing that we're having this conversation today. I was thinking about, I'm having a lot of transition in my life right now. And I was thinking about Vipassana. If anyone here has done that, it's like 11 or 14 day silent Buddhist meditation, and talk about understanding time and like having a different understanding. And I was just like, could I do that right now? Just like go into the woods and just be silent for, you know, like almost 2 weeks. And just so much stuff comes up when we're just being.
Yeah.
And still, and a lot of perspective. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. And actually what Jen was just sharing, this is related, but not related, but feels important. It just kind of sparked for me something that I wanted to share at some point today, which is also just to say that technology and I think social media in particular has had a real impact in terms of how we all experience time. So something to think about there as well. All right. What are one or two things now that you've kind of looked at maybe some unhelpful beliefs about time? What are one or two things that you would like to believe about time? What's a more aligned belief around time that you'd like to move towards for yourself? Yeah, Jody, I'm calling you Jody today, Golda. We're going to talk about filters too, because it's important, and privileges come into play also. So take one more moment with that. If you want to share in the chat, please do. What's a more aligned belief? That you would like to move towards or remember more, even if you already have it as a belief, but you'd like to kind of have it more easily accessible for yourself in the moment. For Jen, there's plenty of it. It's okay and actually necessary to slow down. Beautiful. For Susan, I'm capable of changing my relationship with time. I can make time my friend, an ally. Imagine if we all believe that I can make time my friend and my ally. For Jen M, there's enough time. I can receive and play with the time that I have. I can allow time. These are all so beautiful. For Lara, even when I'm late, I still get to be on time. Beautiful. For Mika, things happen at the right time, always. I love all of these. Okay. And so now that we've kind of had this exploration of all of this, what are some tools, inner tools? Again, we'll get to the outer tools in the recording next week, but what are some inner tools that we can use to support ourselves and support our clients in terms of relationship with time? So as we go into them, and just to, this is important to say, even though I think probably all of you know, shifting relationship with time, like with most things, but particularly with time, is not a once and done. It really takes coming back to it, to doing the work and doing the work. And again, that's because the issues, the messaging, the beliefs around time are so deeply embedded into our thinking patterns, into our culture, into our sense of self, into our orientation to life, into what we think is expected of it. They're so baked into patriarchal structures, institutional structures, right? And so it's an unfolding over time. Okay, so what are some things to think about in terms of tools? Number one, as we already know, belief work, awareness, belief work, fear work, right? So we've already learned so many tools when it comes to fear, when it comes to beliefs, you know, when it comes to resistance. We can apply any of those, wheel of self-sabotage, we can apply any of those when we're working with ourselves or a client. When it comes to time, do a BYF with a fear, a befriend your fear with a fear around time. Do a rewiring technique with one of the beliefs that you identified today. Draw out a wheel of self-sabotage. You can also always with clients ask some of the questions I asked you today. What's your relationship with time? What are some of the things you believe about time, et cetera? Right? So co-creating, and as we know, just as a first step, co-creating awareness around the fears and around the beliefs, big first step. And then we have these other tools that we've already learned where we can go deeper. I will say every now and again, when you're working with a client on time, particularly if they haven't introduced it themselves, but as you're listening to them, you see like, oh, there's maybe some misaligned beliefs here or fears. Every now and again, bringing up the topic of time can cause a lot of resistance at first on behalf of the client. And again, that's because beliefs about time are at the core of our beliefs about ourselves and the universe and life, right? So there can sometimes be an initial resistance to start to think about it differently. As you go to co-create awareness on fears, on beliefs around time. As Jody said earlier, a few minutes ago in the chat, you want to check your own filters. You want to check your privilege as well, right? Because your life circumstances may be such that actually you can create a lot more time for yourself, as an example, whereas maybe someone with not the same privileges that you have, you're saying like, oh, there's a belief there that she doesn't have any more time, but actually that's just your filter because of that person's situation. They don't, right? And there's still work that you can do on time there, like to just have a different relationship to the time that there is available or whatever it is. But I just point this out, as with all things, we don't want to bypass because we're not checking filters or privilege. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's number one, right? Awareness, belief work, fear work, etc. Let me pause there. Thoughts, what's sparking, questions on that? Nothing? Okay, good. Yeah, those are pretty clear. Okay. Another thing to think about is to cultivate, support your client or yourself to cultivate trust with time and make better friends with time. So this is also related to many things we've already looked at. Instead of doing a befriend your fear, where you look at a fear somatically or otherwise when it comes to time, when you approaching it this way might be that you lead a client to anthropomorphize time, right? You bring time down as an archetypal energy or something that the client feels inside of themselves, and then have them dialogue with time itself. Have them engage with time itself. Have them feel time somatically. Help them receive higher wisdom from time itself. And be in better relationship, right? So in other words, make time an entity, an energy, a personality. Once you kind of establish this in a session, it might be useful for a client to have a practice of journaling with time after that, right? Something like that. Pause on that. Thoughts or questions on cultivating trust and making friends with time itself? Jen?
I have brought up one of my clients to you in the past, the mama with three kids who is a very busy husband. She is nursing right now, so she's like sleep deprived, and her and I still have to have a conversation because she actually had to cancel our last session because of time. And I get that number one plays into this, right? Like awareness. But a part of me wants to kind of bring this up for her in like the, you know, this softer approach of like practice journaling and versus like, oh, well, we all have the same amount of time. Right. That wouldn't land well. Yeah, I just wanted to hear if you had any thoughts with somebody who is sleep deprived, essentially.
Right. So a couple things on this. So first of all, as you know, you have brought this up before, and as we've discussed, and I'm trying to check my filters on this because I remember what that sleep deprivation was like. I mean, I couldn't do personal work for a while during that period. It just was would have been a no-go for me, right? So that's, I think that's the first conversation to have with her to really see, you know, what is within the realm of possibility during this period right now? Does it make sense to continue or to freeze? Right. So that's number one.
Yeah.
If from that conversation, it's like, she's no, I want to, you know, there are things I want to work on, et cetera. Then one place you might want to go with her, and this is important for everybody, this falls into the belief work that I just spoke about and the fear work. You might want to use some of our myth of perfection tools with her, right? So it is like you're saying, it is true that she has a limited amount of time because of all the things that are going on in her life right now, right? And so there can't be a perfection of all the time in the world to do all the things, right? But in an imperfect way, what is possible, right? So as an example, you could do even though nevertheless is around time. The even though is the honoring the limits, right? Even though I'm really tired and so busy with the kids and the house, nevertheless, I believe it's possible for me to have 5 minutes to myself in the morning, even if the baby cries. Even though I'm so tired and there's so much to be done and my time is limited, nevertheless, I could ask my husband once a week for an extra hour while he's with the kids, right? So move out of the binary, maybe move out of the binary thinking on that. That could be one way. Doing some of the belief, like the rewiring work, could be another way. Is that helpful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have her meditating on when she goes to the bathroom.
I love it.
I think the perfectionist is definitely there control. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, we definitely, as humans, can apply that myth of perfection piece to issues on time. Lara Sake in the chat, as a mother of six, my fears around time and sleep were definitely related. I had to get down to what I really wanted, more time and sleep. Yes. Danielle.
Just one more voice of just affirming the three children and co-sleeping and time. But I keep thinking about it's a relationship. So it's not just this like expanding view of time itself, which is such a huge part of it. For me, I could see that part of the work is the building trust within myself that I can then project forward, that like I am not going to just resign myself. That's going to change as I trust more, as I cultivate that trust. Then of course there's going to be a softening and I'm not going to just give up today and think that I can't do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to try and relate with the time differently. But I can see how it's both in the relationship are changing. And I love that what Lara just said and someone else about coming back into that place of, while recognizing reality or the constraint in a way, like I actually find that to be empowering if you can land back into what your choices are from this place. Like that has helped me so much. Ignoring the fact that there are constraints honestly just breeds more self-shame and guilting and like avoidance. But like actually when I look at it, and maybe both choices are not what I would want, literally was talking about this in my coaching session yesterday as a client, that was the myth of perfection thing going on. I was like, this is not looking like I want it to look. And so then I'm finding myself just opting out.
That's right. And also the other thing that you're talking about here is honoring what is, right? Which we looked at in our creating awareness skills. It is so important to honor what is, to acknowledge where the limits are without making them like a pathology or a sentence towards a destiny, right? But for exactly what Danielle is talking about, so that like, so our nervous systems can relax into what is true. And then the next, and we can have more self-love and compassion and all of this. And then the next set of choices, empowered choices, can arise from all of that. Good. Okay, let's keep on going. Okay, let's see what y'all think about this one. Make requests of time and treat time with respect. So there are a couple of things that I mean by this, and this idea or this tool can look many different ways. But the idea behind it is when we are in relationship with something like time, part of an ideal relationship with something else is to both treat that thing with respect, as well as in a relationship, you make requests. So I'll give you two examples of what I mean by this. In terms of making requests of time, that could look something like what happens during a get it done session, like when I hold get it done sessions for groups. We are making a request of that 60 or 90 minutes of time, right? That time serve and support us to get this piece of curriculum done, to get this piece of marketing done, to get the files organized, whatever it is. And in a get it done session, it's like a sacred container, right? And for those of you that have been in a get it done session with me or someone on my team, we don't do them in sacred depths. But in other containers, you know, we start that 60 or 90 minutes in a sacred way. We come into that time as if it were a sacred container. We set intentions, right? Which is like making a request. What is it that I want to accomplish? Why do I want to accomplish this, right? We might even set a prayer, whatever it is. And then we're very conscious and intentional during that time. We're making the request and we're using it. Yeah, Kristen is saying in the chat, making rituals with time to set up the containers. Exactly. Right. When I'm just like willy nilly doing this and then doing that, like, yes, sometimes I do get the thing, a lot of the things done, but I feel anxious in it, right? So like I'm going to this thing and that thing, whatever. But when I'm making the request, when I'm being conscious with it, when I'm setting the container, when I'm approaching it as like, this is a holy experience within this container. And this is what I want to get done. I am more likely to get more done and also experience the time as I get it done in a much more positive way. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll give you another example of this. And I know this is like, so probably everybody here knows this, has done this. I'm sure many of you do this as a practice way more than I do. When we take 5 minutes, right, and we say, and again, this is about creating a container, these 5 minutes are about me and pure presence to time, right? And then maybe during those 5 minutes, we slow down we consciously step out of the fast-paced rhythm of time that maybe the rest of our day is going through. We move away from the computer and the phone and the screen, right? And then maybe we, if it makes sense, we close our eyes and we just focus on our bodies, right? And just watching the breath. And the idea is to make a request of time to slow it down a little bit, right? And to help us experience it as more easeful and more flowing and slower. What happens after we do that, for those of you that do it regularly as a meditation practice or every now and again, at least for a little bit afterwards, we feel the impact of that, right? That's another example of making requests of time while also respecting time. Jen.
I have two thoughts. One is Bhuvaneshwari is the goddess, I believe the Hindu goddess of space and time. And mm-hmm. she was brought into my field around 2019 and has been just such an ally for me. Just even in recognizing, like this happened on Sunday night, I was hanging out with some folks and we were having so much fun and time was just going so quick. And there's a big clock that we could all see and we were having a pool party and we could see this big clock. And it was like, suddenly, like, I feel like every time I just blinked, it was a half an hour later. And I just like laughed at Bhuvaneshwari because she seemed like she was just speeding up time. And just wanted to mention this goddess for everyone. The second mm-hmm. thing that came up is, oh, sorry, did you want to say?
No, go ahead.
Something I was just thinking about, and you might not want to talk about this right now, but like, I'm just curious how you thought, how, because we talked about visioning and strategy, and here we are talking about time. And I was just curious, like, how did you choose to create its own session about time? Because it has so much to do with strategy, and yet it is so different. And I was just curious about your choices there. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely related. And in our strategizing module, we look at one of the time tools, which is blueprinting. So yeah, you're totally on to something. It's right. And we look at natural rhythms and natural paces in strategizing, which is also related to how we experience time, you know, in some ways. But in terms of my choice, these last kind of 2 months of sacred depths is bonus, like going above and beyond. And so I just wanted to deconstruct this piece a little bit more.
Yeah, I really love it, going from being in the mystery to talking about time. And
yes, yeah. And that is, yep. That's
it's well done.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, it is placed on purpose after the mystery.
And it brings in that container too. Very cool, Joanna.
Okay, a couple more tools that I want to share with you. Receiving work. So I saw in the chat at least once when someone was talking about aligned beliefs around time, the word receive. And Juniper made the connection between time and money. And what I want to toss to all of you to see if this resonates for you or not is that at the core of time, as well as money, we can even add love to this too, but to keep things simple, at the core of time and money is the ability to receive. At the core of time and money is the ability to receive, right? Not always in all situations, again, privileges, filters, et cetera. We have to take that into account. But both time and money when we are in aligned relationship, I would venture to say, and see if this rings true for you, is that we feel we're receiving it, right? And we're receiving enough of it. We're receiving what we need of it. And what I want to suggest is that in our culture, the art of receiving, the aligned art of receiving, has been lost. And I won't get into all of the different ways it's been lost. You know, I'll just say, like, in some ways, it's been lost because of capitalism. It's like this idea that some people get to receive and other people don't get to receive, or patriarchy, right? So that's one way that this deeper art of receiving has been lost. And then another, you know, for example, ways that this art of receiving has been lost is that because of beliefs around it. So in this culture, oftentimes, maybe we believe that receiving makes us weak. Or maybe we believe that we don't deserve to breathe. Or maybe we believe that there's something wrong with us if we can't do it on our own. And so when we can work with ourselves and with our clients on not only shifting beliefs around receiving, but what I have found is, like, opening up our bodies and our energy to be more open to receiving, we can start to experience time and even sometimes money a little bit differently. Is this making sense, what I'm saying? So let me ask you this briefly. What are some of your beliefs around receiving or your ability to receive? So either around receiving in general or your ability to receive. And by the way, this comes back to what I, a little bit, to what I was sharing earlier around connection with the universe too. For Catherine, the cost is high, right? It's like, takes so much in order to receive, and there's going to be a cost to it. For Susan, it feels safer to give. Yep, but you're ready to evolve that. Happy to hear that. I feel safer in giving too. So I get that. Who else? What's coming up for you? Maria's saying a healthy belief around receiving is about reciprocal flow of being and the circuitry of love. I love that. Yes. For Juniper is saying it connects to worth. Am I worthy of receiving this without doing anything in exchange, just for being who I am? Right? What might be different if you were to believe that? How might you experience time or money differently? Susan says the word that came up around time was wrangle. And, oh wait, I just missed it. And I think I have the same belief around money and receiving. I have to wrangle whatever I get. Think about how much more effort goes into wrangling, right? And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that we just, like, all sit back all day long and open up to receive, although that would be very nice. And I do think that we should spend some of our time doing that, like, as a practice. But with that energetic feeling, right, which is kind of like the opposite of wrangle, then what actions are we able to take in order to receive what we want? And what is the feeling of those actions coming from that place of being open and ready to receive, because we know we deserve it. I'd love to hear a voice or two on this. What's sparking for you around this conversation of receiving and time and money? What's feeling important here? What are you seeing? Who wants to share? Don't be shy. Jen, I'm going to hold on you for a moment. I feel like there's a share, another share in here. Anyone want to share? Catherine.
Hey, sorry, I could not find my reaction button. I was actually just struck by what you said around, you know, and it's not like receiving, we just like lay back and just like receive all the time. And I've actually been sort of cultivating this practice, which has been really magical, of just being like 100% in receivership at all time and just in this like full care and constant contact with the universe. And a lot of times what I'm receiving is like the energy to take care of my daughter, or the energy to go like do work, or the motivation for how, like idea for how to solve a problem or something. So it's not just reclining with peeled grapes, but it's completely altered. Like even my answers to this, like, what's my idea of time? It's like, there's sort of these distant things. Like it has kind of altered my feeling of like worth and safety in the world to just like at all times be receiving. And it's kind of, it's so antithetical to the way I was raised. Cause you know, thinking about this, of just like, it's a slippery slope. You're either all giving or all receiving. So if you take a little bit, like you're going to be a lazy, worthless fuck pretty soon, you know, like the just, it's so dangerous to be passive or relaxed or receiving. So I love all this topic.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that share. I get chills as you're saying it, it feels so important, and like you're putting an underline on all of this. And I love that you use the word practice, right? It is a practice to relearn that art of receiving. And so if this is sparking for anyone, I want to encourage you to have a practice, right? Work with your clients on a practice, do it for yourself first, but it can be one like what Catherine just shared, that kind of practice. It can be a practice of feeling yourself opening up to receive and feeling that deserving of the receiving. If I like to get massages, if that's something that you like and you're able to do, one of my practices when I get a massage is that I don't just kind of like lay there, but I use it as receiving time. And I really set an intention to open up to receive the healing from that touch, to take it in deeply, not just for that moment, right? But as the practice. And another way that, another thing that can help practice receiving is actually a gratitude practice. Because the more that we notice all the ways that actually we're receiving so much throughout the day, then the more it can open us up to those beliefs and those new energetic patterns, right? Like, I'm receiving sunlight right now. That's coming right through the window. I'm so grateful for that. There's heat in my house. I'm receiving that, right? I'm so grateful for that. I hate filling my car up with gas. My husband went and did it for me as he always does. I receive that and I feel so grateful for that, right? Noticing those things as we move throughout our day doesn't have to be like, I didn't get $1 million, so I didn't receive, I'm not grateful, right? All the things that we're receiving, it helps if we can, and then if we can feel that gratitude for what we already are receiving in our body, it helps that practice of receiving. That makes sense. Sharon's, so let's see, Danielle's with me on the massages, and Sharon is saying, I accept gifts of whatever and say, if it feels uncomfortable, and I accept and I receive it anyway. Yes, I was quick to say, Nat's okay. You don't need to do that yet. Lara.
I have kind of a funny story. This is years ago, I was a homeschooler and, you know, going to conferences, and this mom shares this story about how she, I don't know, maybe was praying and she got this inspiration that she needed to go to this thrift store and there would be this book there and it would be what she needed. And so she goes there and she finds this book and she said it was so profound and it was this great experience. And I was so jealous. It's like, oh, that never happens to me. And every time I go to the thrift store, you know, I would like look at the books and like, which one of these books is for me? And I just wanted to have that experience that she had. And it's so funny to me now because I realize all the books are for me. Like every book I pick up has something for me. Every person I talk to has something for me. Every street I walk down, everything.
Be willing to receive it.
Yeah. It's all for me. And yeah, my thinking was so limited back then that someone had to tell me and it had to be this one thing, you know, or money has to come from this one place, or yeah, it was very, very limiting.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So great. Okay. One more little tool to think about. Shift the language that you use around time. So the language that we use dictates our beliefs. Think about what kind of language you generally use around time. Do you say, I only have an hour? Or could you say, this relates to receiving, I've been gifted with an hour for this. It's an hour both ways, but then how we experience it is so different. I get a day for a vacation versus I've created a day for vacation. Do you use terms like I'm running out of time? I lost time on that. Catching up on time, right? And how can you shift some of that? And then start to consciously use different language in order to impact the beliefs and how you're experiencing time. Okay. Any thoughts on that or anything that wants to be said on that? Yeah, people were wasting my time. My time is being wasted, right? If this one is resonating for you to start, I'd say start tracking your language around time over the next week or two. What are some of the things you say maybe that you don't even realize that you say that are actually impacting your ability to experience time in the ways that you want and to receive it? All right. Speaking of time, we still have 7 minutes left. So exciting. So take a moment. I'd love for you to write down what are some of your, hopefully you're taking away a lot from our time together today, but what are some of the biggies for you that you're taking? Some of the biggies. Catherine's reclaiming the art of receiving. Yeah, I'd love to hear some voice-to-voice shares. What are you taking for yourself from our time today? Or what questions do you have? Like to share? What are you taking? Sharon.
The thing for me is that's really impacting is that I've done a lot of work on time for myself in different ways, but I love that it's that interwoven, it's the overlapping part. It's not just time as a standalone. It's all those other things about perfectionism, not being good enough. If I give more, then the martyr comes in. And so that whole picture of, time being completely, not necessarily complete, but being so interdependent with other beliefs.
Yes, and our sense of self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really sparking all sorts of things off me, particularly as I'm late at the moment because I have the commitments at 5:30, and am I going to be having my dinner in the middle of this? Somebody else is cooking, and it's such a gift today to be able to sit. I was expecting to have a shout for dinner and it hasn't happened. I'm like, so good. Phone somewhere else. I'm not eating. I'm not rushing. I'm not doing three things at once. So yeah, that's really sparking off lots of little bits for me.
Yeah.
And I'm much better at this. And the menopause has really taught me to pause and take a step back and review life in a different way because I don't have the energy that I used to have.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of gifts in that for me. So thank you.
Yes, I love that. I'm so glad you're gonna explore more deeply. I can feel there's some next juicy pieces in there. Good. Juniper is gonna go through the same journaling rituals used for money and do them with time. Yes, that's such a great idea. For Jen M, how my resistance will use time as part of how to resist, how the language I use deeply impacts how I feel about the time that I have. Beautiful. For Lara, setting intentions with time, even if it's only 5 minutes, miracles can happen in every moment. It's so true. Golda's going to get curious about languaging around time. For Katie, your relationship to time is directly related to how much ease you have in your life. Yes. Tracking language too. Good. For Susan, you're going to use the breath practice to slow down and cultivate receiving. Yes, I hope some of you work on the receiving piece as well. And then befriend time. Good. Kristen's going to cultivate a receiving practice and see how you're receiving through your days. And then work with the language. Good. Beautiful. I'm really excited for all of you to play with this and be with this and to see how it evolves. Remember what I said earlier. It's not a once and done ever, but especially when it comes to time, because all of this is so deeply embedded in us. Commit to it. See what happens if you do. I'm going to send you all a lot of love, and I'll see you soon. Bye.